My first marriage broke my soul through her adultery, but it also broke me free from my love of the world and my powerless form of crossless Christianity. My second marriage broke my heart through her apostasy, but it also taught me to love even more like Jesus and to trust God even when everything I thought God promised ended in spiritual death. My third marriage is teaching me that just when I think I've seen God's biggest blessings, His greatest miracles, His best redemption, His most amazing providences, or His highest love, I am absolutely wrong. This is the real-time story of how God granted me the grace to love again, to trust Him one more time for that wife of noble character, and the incredible ways He has walked us into nothing short of a Job 42:10 blessing.
I want to just capture that. There's these things that are happening like this. So I send you guys the recording that I made on the way here. Mm-hmm. You get 15 minutes into it and it cuts.
Right.
You said you had seen 666 like twice while you're watching the first 15 minutes of it. And my first thoughts to tell you were, if you only listen to the first 15 minutes of this, you're going to roll your eyes and go, oh, no.
Which is pretty much what we did.
I knew you would, right? Like, I knew you were, okay? And you were supposed to. Yeah. And so you see the 666 on it.
She comes in later. She goes, when we get home, she goes to the store. When she comes in, she's playing a message from you. I'm like,
that
hey, is that the message?
It was that one, yeah.
And she goes, yeah. I said, you figured out how to fix it? She goes, yeah, I had to download it or do something like that. I was like, oh, let's listen to it. Let's hear it.
See, and I didn't think you were. And I felt like you were supposed to listen to the message and not
so
have me explain
that we got
it.
To.
Right, because you begin to change it. But then the thing that happens is that you get to a point.
She comes in, she sets the phone down and getting things, and we're listening together. And we pause it a couple times to talk.
Yeah.
And so at one point, either she paused it or I was just thinking about it, and I thought, boy, did I say it? I don't think I said it.
Remember.
But I thought, like, boy, I'd have to hear 7:15 on this. I mean, this,
no, you
this
didn't
is
it.
A.
You said that to yourself.
This is a 7:15 thing, like.
Like you told me that you said I would have to see a 7:15
to
believe this is of God. Yeah. Okay, and then what happens?
And so, within about 5 minutes, you mentioned seeing 7:15.
Yes. Okay. And so then you're like, whoa.
Right. And I didn't know. I didn't necessarily. I mean, I didn't realize that. Like, either he had shown you that at all, or.
Yeah, it was right before you said something.
Yeah, you hadn't said it in the message,
and
we hadn't talked about it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I had, my point was being that, like, I would need a very clear confirmation like that to believe, and I really think God would be showing him Michael 7:15.
Right, that's what you thought. Okay, so there's the confirmation. So at that point, it starts to look like, okay, wait a second, the Spirit's ministering the same piece. Like, there's some agreement on this, okay?
Yeah.
So then you keep listening to the message, and at one point, I think it's something happens. I get a notification on my phone or something, and the screen lights up, and I say, oh, man, 7:21. So I make a screen capture of the 7:21, and then that distracts me, and I don't know what the 7:21 means. But
I didn't either. Okay. I had never seen that.
It distracts me, and the message is about me being in bondage. Remember, like I'm talking about over and over again, like I'm in bondage to this. And I mentioned the words freedom.
Right,
and so what's even more incredible is that right after the 7:21 happens, something happens and I get distracted. I don't remember if that's when I see the Amazon factory or what. I think I
somewhere
see the Amazon factory.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, I get distracted and I say, Lord, what was I talking about? And I kind of pause for a minute.
Yeah.
And then I start talking about freedom and bondage. Like, God, are you going to give me my freedom, Lord? I mean, I'm in bondage.
Wow.
Are you going to set me free? That's literally what I start walking, okay? The whole rest of the message, I don't even know what 7:21 is.
Wow. Yeah.
So at some point, I pull over and I read it. And what does 1 Corinthians 7:21 say?
Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, do it.
And mine says, if you can have your freedom, you know, get your freedom. And I'm reading this, and as I told you 7:21, and you already knew this verse, Jared. I don't even know if you realize this, but you mentioned the verse as I'm going to it. You said, oh, if you can get your freedom, get it. You maybe don't even realize you did that, but you said the verse when I said 7:21 and I said 1 Corinthians 7:21, you said the verse. You said, oh man, if you can get your freedom, get it.
Wow.
You said that. So it's somehow or another you had known that scripture before even reading it. And I was like, well, how does he know that scripture so much? And I just thought, well, he just has studied it or looked at it or what have you. So then yesterday we noticed three times 921 pops up. And I said, do you look? And we were all saying, oh, there it is again, right? So it happens three times that I see 921.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember when I looked it up. We were home from the restaurant.
Was it yesterday after you saw about the third one?
So was it last night? I was already in bed. We all went to bed, and I texted after we went to bed.
That's right.
And I said, brother, look at this.
Right, because before bed, we saw it again.
Right, the 921, I was standing at the microwave, and I said, clearly, I need to look this up.
Like three things.
Yeah, I need to look this up. Yeah, you were standing there with me. So,
yeah.
Okay, so then.
I didn't know what that was at all. I mean,
I didn't either.
That's new to me, the 921. Yeah. I'd never seen.
So I looked that up, and the first one is Numbers 9:21. Whether the cloud stayed a day, a night, or day, as soon as it lifted, they set out. And it's this idea of setting out. And then the very next verse mentions, even if it remained a year. And we've been talking all day long about this whole year thing and all that stuff. Uh-huh. Okay, so that happens.
Yeah.
And then you mention that Kay, as she's going to bed, comes across Genesis 18:10 about this time next year, you will have a child. After we've been talking year, okay? All right? Then, last night, you told me this miraculous thing that happened, timing-wise, in your situation where 1 year to the day of you...
Yeah.
Filing the divorce or...
No, it was my ex announced her engaged. She got engaged the same day I got engaged to your part. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 year to the day.
Year to the day.
So it's like an evil stamp and then godly thing. You guys get engaged 1 year later to the day. Yeah. Okay, so... And what I had said to you, I had already told you guys this, but we didn't make the connection, is I said there's something really bizarre I discovered on the way here with these recordings. I discovered... Yeah. On the 14th or the 13th to the 14th, I'd have to go back and see which day it is, of 2020 is when Persis clearly becomes like demonic. And she starts to curse and her mouth is filled with all this foul language and all these lies and all this kind of stuff. And then on the way here,
out of the house, basically.
Right. Basically, we had to get out of the house and it was just horrible. And so that's the day that like Satan comes, like in a big way.
Right.
And then on the way here... I'm just kind of thinking, I'm listening to that, and I'm going, wow, that was just like almost a year ago. And I'm listening to this, and I'm going, oh my goodness. That's the exact day 1 year later I have this Skype call. To the day I have this Skype call. And I'm going, wow, that's bizarre. And then when you guys told me that, I thought, that's pretty weird. Then we've been seeing all the 512s. And I've been telling you the 512. You heard it in the message, 512, 512, 512, right? I'm talking about this. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it, okay?
Yeah.
You've seen them with me a couple of times. So that where you guys live that I was in coming to, the area code is 512. Yeah. So everywhere we drive, we see 512, 512, 512. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't know that. Huh?
Didn't have any idea that I'm coming to 512 area code after you guys are listening to a message, me talking about 512. Incidentally, the first 512s are in the I Will Come Forth as Gold when Persis is getting ready to leave. And I'm like, God, I don't know what to do about this. And God shows me 1 Peter 5:12. This is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Allow it to happen.
Yeah.
This is my grace.
Right.
So he's telling me, let her go then. And now it's like he's giving me this 512. And I'm like...
What an interesting way to use that.
Isn't it?
It is.
Like, this is my grace. This is my doing. Stand in it. And I'm going to give you grace. Has God given me grace to go through this? Yes or no?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, hence this Skype call. I say, Lord, I don't know if I should do this or not. You know, I want to be very careful. Lord shows me the 512.
Yeah.
This is the true grace of God. Stand for a minute. Like, just, and he's used it in multiple ways. I'm on my knees at Larry.
How about the Revelation 2:10?
Okay.
So when basically you were saying, like, is he really showing me... Is he really showing me the Revelation 2:10? And then you turn on your audio.
Be faithful to the point of death.
That is 100% of the way that he confirms these to me. I'm like, God, you've given me this number. I need to see this scripture.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to see that. I want to know. Help me to
know
that I've got this right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll show me. Like within a day, a half day or something.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, man, that is it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the way he does
We talked about it a lot yesterday. Yep. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life, right? And I told you guys, I said, look, I have the crown of life. Yep. It's not Persis. Yep. I have it.
You have it without her.
I have it without her, okay? And then I go to bed to take naps. We come home to take naps. Mm-hmm. And Samuel Rutherford's letters I'm listening to, the audiobook is about 28 hours long, okay? Wow. 5 minutes into playing it, he quotes Revelation 2:10. Be faithful to the point of death, and God will give you the crown of life.
Yeah.
Okay?
Hello.
So that happens. So we see all the 5:12s. Then we've been sitting here talking all morning long. I have not touched my phone or my iPad.
Right.
And I pick it up, and what time is it?
It's 9:21.
9:21, after we had just talked about it.
Yeah.
So, and right before I said... Right before I said, guys, look what time it is on my phone, I said an emphatic statement of faith. I said, guys, I think God is doing this. I think he's cutting me the free.
Yeah.
And you guys have testified that you have seen bondage. You've felt my bondage.
Yeah.
You specifically have told me this, that you see that I am in bondage. And these are the words I'm using to describe. And I've said, I'm a prisoner of hope. Mm-hmm. I'm a prisoner of my love to my wife. Mm-hmm. And I've cried out, God, set me free. And I even told you in the recording, I'm out in the woods, and I'm like, God, just show me a 7:15, Lord, please. If you're gonna, if you want me to be free, just show me a 7:15. And then I told you guys, I'm in the woods like a week later, and my phone lights up at 7:15. I'm talking about all my suffering, and then suddenly I become afraid. Mm-hmm. And I say, no, Lord, I don't want to see this. No, Lord, I'll stay suffering. Remember, I told you that, okay? And so now I'm finding myself... We've been talking about it for the last 2 days, is that I am feeling afraid of the fact that God may be cutting me loose. Mm-hmm. And the main theme we're talking about is the mystery of all this, that it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And it really seems like God is going to bring me into something that I'm not going to be able to trace his steps in.
Yeah.
That I have to be like the Elizabeth Elliot story I just told you, where she's desperate for this one man who has to be able to speak two languages. She waits a year for the guy to show up. God finally brings her the guy. And just as they begin the work, he dies. And so that everything she's worked for comes to nothing. You understand, her whole ministry is dependent upon her being able to translate the Bible and this, and to speak these people's language. And now it all comes to nothing.
Yeah.
How can that be? And there's this sense I told you at dinner last night, I think God is bringing me into a place where I am not going to be able to explain this. I have to accept it. And what's the other number that we all keep seeing throughout all of this?
8:28.
Romans 8:28. Yeah. Over and over and over, we're seeing this. You're opening up your phone, it's 8:28. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, look on the clock, it's 8:28. And we're seeing it over and over again.
To me, this is an encouragement when, you know, this is encouragement when you can't explain what's going on. He has to tell you, look. I mean, if you can already see it working out, you don't really need to know in 8:28. You know what I mean?
Right. It's Yep. And it's so, a trust. You know, it's trust me. I'm in this.
Yes, it's a trust scripture.
Yep.
It's a trust scripture.
Trust me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the other thing that was weird about this is you guys know that I never share with you guys real time the problems that are in my life. Everybody knows you guys are my closest brother and sister in Christ. Everybody knows who you are. So you guys have always been on the inside circle. You're the only subscribers to ever live with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to call you subscribers because you're not. But you know what I mean. You know what I'm sorry. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And so you guys know that because I walk with God, he always has told me to walk with him, grab from him, deal with him, and then share after the fact, right? Mm-hmm. And you also recall that about, what was it, maybe 3 weeks ago, you're the only person I ever told this to besides Tyler. I said, brother, you are not going to believe this. God just confirmed for me that I can take my life back up. You remember? And I started to weep. And
I was so excited.
And you,
I mean, you know, to me, it was like part of the release is part of this freedom.
Yes.
I mean, he's giving you a freedom in that.
He
for
is.
Sure. I mean, that is another.
Another freedom.
It is.
Yeah,
yes. One. He's freeing me from several things on the other. And this is all happening on the other side of this resurrection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's like freedom from the torment that I've been experiencing with my parents for 7 years trying to have this relationship with them. And I said, God, if she's not going to change, Lord, I'd rather you just have them be so offended they never talk to me ever again. I've told the Lord that before.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I'm so tormented caring more about their souls and their situation than I do.
Yeah.
And then the Lord, after I warn them, he says, kick the dust of your feet off.
Wow.
Okay?
I mean,
look at all this happening. Yeah. Yes, look at all this happening. It's like total freedom. Cuts my parents off, who have not believed anything God's doing in my life. is now perhaps it looks like cutting Persis out of my life.
Yeah.
Cuts the me having to share so testimony, John 10:17. He does it in only a way I can do. I prayed, God, show me a 10:17. I touch my door handle while I'm making the recording from a 3-hour walk, 10:17.
Wow.
Only God can do that. And I say, oh my God, he's freed me. I'm not going to have to tell the story of my life going forward anymore. It's like he's giving me back my life. Jesus said, God loves me because I lay my life down only to take it back up again. He doesn't make you lay it down always and indefinitely.
Right.
All right, so that happens. I tell you about that. So I'm having these freedom things happening. There's been this joy in my life and heart that's unexplainable. That's been in spite of all. You're selling me, Michael, you should be depressed. And you guys see clearly I'm not, right? I have this life that won't stop.
Yeah. Yes.
My only anxieties right now have been about, oh my God, is the Lord actually telling me to cut my wife off?
Yeah.
That's the only concern I've had, right?
Yeah.
But there was something else that I wanted to get to, and this is the point of this, is that I knew when I was driving here and I had made that recording, I'm supposed to share this with you guys.
Wow.
And that is a first. Yeah. I have never done this with you guys.
Yeah. And it's okay? Interesting too. It's like, because of the nature of it and how big it is, you know, for us, again, like I completely agree is the right thing to do. You'd have to share that for us to have, you know, an open relationship and clear.
Which is what I told you. I said there's going to be a purple elephant in the room. And I'm not going to be able, there's going to be something missing if I don't tell you guys about this.
Right, but it turns. We have to talk about Persis.
Yes.
We have to update on this. We have to. Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's even bigger reason, it turns out, that God was going to have this happen. I knew it. I knew I was supposed to share it with you. And when you said you guys only got through 15 minutes of it, I'm like, this is not good. This has got to be of Satan trying to stop them from hearing this recording, because it was like, I'm not supposed to tell you all this when I arrive. You're supposed to hear it as it's happening real time in the recording that day. It's like, I knew you were supposed to hear the recording. And now it becomes obvious. Christ talks about, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. That I trust Jesus Christ in you as much as probably you trust him in me. And I said to you, brother, I really don't trust myself 100% in this right now because I'm so vulnerable. And so it's like, I think the Lord knew I was going to need some confirmation that's outside of seeing numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't you agree? I'm very vulnerable with what's happened. I've been believing according to God pointing me to the numbers that Persis is coming back. And now he's telling me, this is it. She's had her chance. Right. 3 years, an extra year, 4 years, dig it up. It's taken up the soil. You're in bondage. I'm freeing you. It's been 4 years, brother.
Oh.
It's been 4 years. Yeah.
Wow. That's it sure extra
is.
Year.
It sure
my
is.
Goodness.
The extra year has been the whole year she's
been
gone.
This past year.
That's what I'm trying to tell
past
you. That whole extra year is the whole, this whole year of me waiting and allowing her to go through any brokenness. And then and then I also mentioned to you.
Tell me that's not digging up.
Very much it's digging up.
I mean, it's a lot of digging up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's work for you. I mean, you're having to do the labor and the bondage of having to do the digging.
Yep.
Hoping
and the fertilizing.
Alive, and you don't know immediately.
No, you don't.
You know, it takes time. I got a bush out there that got hit in the storm and in the weather, and I'm testing the limbs to see if there's any more sap in them, and I'm having to break some off. And I'm thinking, man, I hope this thing comes back, but I'm going to keep it a little longer.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to have to wait and keep watering it.
Yep, you have to wait because you don't know if it's dead or alive.
Yeah, it takes
time. Yeah, you know something? Couldn't you say that exact same thing about this past year?
Yeah.
And
you
know, the other thing I had told you is
the fasting, the waiting, the emails, the reaching out.
Especially the most recent emails. I could have never known when I'm sending all these, sweetheart, I love you.
This is the last
I love you.
Like,
it's like God is causing me to reach out to her. And I kept saying, Lord, are you telling me to
Jesus
reach out?
At the door knocking. And he's not going to sit there waiting forever.
Yes,
he's gotten up. He's come to your house and he's knocking.
Correct. Yep, that's what it seems like. It seems like
when the knocking stops,
then you're in trouble.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean.
And then eventually the day comes when you find yourself standing out the door knocking and the master has shut the door and he says, it's too late. I do not know you or where you come from. That's what's horrible
about
it.
Get away from me. Yeah.
But yes, isn't it incredible that just in these past, you know, really month or 2 weeks, God had me, he started telling me, send her another email, send her another email.
Yeah, that's
and I'd amazing. Send her a picture of a flower and I'd say, I'm waiting for you. I love you. I love you more now with the love of God that I ever have. And mm-hmm. just repent. God and I are standing here with arms
she's
open
never
wide.
Responded once.
Brother, she has not responded to a
she's
single email. Nothing.
Never indicated she's home.
Never even indicated she's
it's
home.
It's like knocking for nothing. Yeah.
She, I mean, it's nothing. The only reply she ever gave me was the first time that I sent her this big long recording after the ministry went down. And I said, I just want to make sure before I do this that I've been really wrong and that nothing has changed for you before I do this.
Yeah.
And she wrote back, nothing changed. Send divorce papers and put the address. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. Nothing.
Talk
Cold
about,
as ice.
Talk about destiny.
Cold as ice. And then on the way here, I knew I was supposed to listen to I Will Come Forth as Gold, and I'm listening to all those recordings of all that evil, remembering all the details of everything
ago.
That happened from a year ago. 1 year ago. I'm like, my gosh, I'm driving on the day 1 year ago these kind of things are happening. And
how weird is
And I'm just
that?
Like...
I mean, how could we... We didn't even plan for this.
No,
year,
we didn't plan for this.
1 year timing thing either.
We didn't plan for this, but God planned
it.
And I told you to put me in the car for 14 hours
right.
where all I can do
right.
is meditate and listen and all the scriptures that he's showing me and the numbers along the way. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it's
I think it has been time.
I do too, man. I really think that I'm finally... I think we are all coming into agreement that there's a witness... You know, there's a witness. You know how the Bible says strive to do what is right in the eyes of everyone?
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's a little bit of a different meaning than that. But it's about how can two walk together unless they be in agreement?
Yeah.
Amos 3:3.
Yeah. Right.
And let every matter be established by two or three witnesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If any two of you agree on anything on earth, it will
yeah.
be done bound in heaven.
Yeah.
And so there's I feel like I needed you guys to agree with me because my lenses have been a little bit fogged because
yeah.
of my love for Persis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I walk down this morning, I wake up and I'm having all these like arrows about like, no man, just keep holding on. And look at this, we're seeing the 921 and I'm like, it's going to come to a point where if I don't do what God says, I'm disobedient. And what is my fear? Oh my gosh, this is it. It's a total scandal. Oh God, I'm going to have to marry again, go through all this again. Oh God, and all these things. I'm like, I don't want to do this. And if this is what God wants me to do, I have to do it. And I've been begging in the woods, Lord, if you're not going to bring her back, give me freedom. Free me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I show him this morning.
You know how scandalous ours looked? I had to face that, man. The scandalous feeling is so hard.
It's horrible, man.
I was attacked and condemned and felt so horrible about it.
It's horrible. Now, sister, look at this. I don't know why this came to my mind this morning, but I see this email very differently today than I did when it came in 2 months ago.
Okay.
There's a sister in Africa, and I just absolutely adore her heart for Christ. She is a wonderful, God-fearing woman, and I was telling him this morning, some of these African-American sisters or even African sisters that have had it so rough,
yeah.
their faith is just extraordinary. They've been so ill-treated by men
yeah.
and they just love Jesus with all their heart, mind, and soul. She sent me a testimonial video
a
long
cool.
time ago when we were having the testimonial videos
yeah.
coming in
mm-hmm.
and she was telling me how God had used the ministry. And just every once in a while, she sends me these really encouraging thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's been encouraging me and blessing me, okay?
Yeah.
So on 2:22, which I never even noticed until this morning, Genesis 2:22, and God brought the man,
mm-hmm.
the woman. So on 2:22, she sent me this text. Look at what this says. Read that.
Hello, Brother Michael. I just want to tell you that God loves you and he has a better wife for you. Wow.
Nothing else is said.
Yeah.
I replied back to her, as you might imagine. I said, in fact, he does. He's going to bring Persis back a better wife. That was my way of refuting what she's thinking and saying no, because I have not been able to let go of Persis. I have been in bondage.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My love, always hoping, always persevering and all that. But there's been little signs like this along the way. And I've not been willing to listen to anybody. And I'm only listening to God, and it seems like it's being confirmed for you. And we talked
right.
about how you guys all recognize that I needed to hope like this. I needed to persevere
right.
through this to get these character lessons, the growth in faith, the
right.
deep revelations.
Yeah.
It's like I had to persevere through this.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other time that you even shared some of these thoughts with me of, you know, kind of like early on, I was like fired back. Remember, like, man, you need to be waiting on your wife.
Yeah, I remember that. I
don't like whenever, like if there was a temptation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that anymore. I just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Actually, brother, you know what? You had misinterpreted, I think, one of my messages.
I think that's what it was.
You
misinterpreted it, and I thought you were.
You thought I was like, man, you're considering another wife.
Yeah, but I was still. I mean, I guess my heart was still like,
hang in there.
We got to be waiting on.
Yes, man, it was. Your wife was.
Thought maybe I misunderstood, but still, yeah. That was my.
No, your heart was in the right place.
Yeah, I mean.
You didn't wait around long enough to the point where I said, no, I'm not doing this. I'm rejecting these thoughts. I don't want another wife. And I've put it out in all my recordings.
Yeah.
There's nobody that can measure up to Persis. I don't want another wife. I'm not interested. Yeah.
Because I know this. I mean, you've stood this for a year. So.
Yes. I've been making sure.
You have to. I mean, I've seen it now. I've learned that you have to stand
on what
anything that is not done in faith is sin. How are you going to do it in faith if you only half believe it?
Correct. Yeah. That's it. Anything you've not done in faith is sin. Romans 14.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It is
how
true.
Gonna like, how are you going to like be, well, I'm believing for her, but she probably just come back.
Right. And I have, God knows. God knows I've had my moments of doubt, but I have continued to hope and believe. And I have to tell you something, that there is a part of me that feels like I can say, Lord, I fought the good fight. Mm-hmm. I finished the race. Yeah. I held it as long as you wanted me to hold it. And when you told me to let go, I let go. And now there'll be a freedom. This was a big reason why God had me come here.
Wow.
This was a big reason. I mean, I have to be honest with you, man. I know how conservative you are on this. The fact that you have...
Very conservative.
The fact that you are starting to agree with me on this like this tells me, like, wow. Like, it's like I knew before I said this, if you ever agree with this, like if the Spirit ever gives you agreement on this, it goes against who you are even in your religious old nature.
Right.
You follow me?
Right.
And it goes against what we believe as Christians, that we're supposed to stay married till death do us part, but this is a death.
It is death. It is.
Michael commentary. So I want to interject something really important here from a doctrine position, because as you well know by now, the subject of divorce and remarriage happens to be one of the most contentious, confusing, argued subjects in all of Christendom. And especially with somebody like myself, who God has been pleased to allow now to have two previous marriages, both of which I have been left by. Obviously, the first marriage ended through infidelity and the leaving of an unbelieving spouse at the end when I began to take Jesus Christ seriously. But now also, I've had a second wife who was faithful to me physically, but unfaithful to God and to our unity in Christian faith, and who has gone full-blown apostate, becoming captive to Satan. Now, as a result, a lot of people are incorrectly saying on videos everywhere, oh, brother, your first wife is still alive, so your second wife was an adulterous marriage, and that's why God didn't bless it, and et cetera, et cetera. And now here you are remarrying again. I can't believe you're not getting this. You're a sinner, brother. Oh, God, we pray for you and we hope. Okay, well, let me just take you back, if that's your challenge, to the year 1646. And I'm going to settle this up and clear this for you and for anybody who has any confusion of this, that long before Michael Criswell was born, there was this little world-famous document created called the Westminster Confession of Faith. Go look it up for yourself. During the time of the Church of England, you have this whole issue of the Catholicism is rampant, and virtually everyone was under Rome for the longest period of time. And then eventually you have these little groups that are kind of breaking off, realizing, wow, the Bible written in Latin has errors in it. Wow, we don't even have a copy of the scriptures. Wow, we're under the influence of this popery, and this is clearly false and contradicting what we know to be the Spirit of Christ. So anyhow, the Church of England goes through this massive reformation. It had been subject to this Roman Catholicism, and it had also been subject to all kinds of weird stuff. And so there comes these reformers who want to reform the Church of England. And they say to her, okay, you've come out of Roman Catholicism, but you haven't come far enough. And this is where even the Puritans are born. The Puritans actually come out of wanting to purify the Reformed Church from all the leftovers that came from Catholicism and really get the church, if you will, the body of Christ, back to what it was supposed to be in the early book of Acts, what it was always meant to be. Now, in this Westminster Confession of Faith, because they were a Reformed church, they had to have some sort of a standard of doctrines for the churches that were coming out of the Church of England in this time of Reformation. Okay, so now watch this. The Westminster Confession of Faith acknowledges that divorce and remarriage are both permissible after adultery or abandonment. In August of 1643, the assembly, which acted with the full authority of Parliament in religious matters, allowed for divorce in the Confession of Faith, and it's in Marriage and Divorce, Chapter 24, Section 5, in cases of infidelity or abandonment. The Westminster Confession of Faith states, quote, "Adultery or fornication committed after contract, being detected before marriage, giveth just occasion to the innocent party to dissolve that contract." So if you're in contract to be betrothed and you discover it before so, you can dissolve the contract and be out. Now, in the case of adultery after marriage, and this happened in my first marriage, it is lawful for the innocent party, that would be me, to sue out a divorce, and after the divorce, to marry another as if the offending party were dead. These are not Michael Criswell's words. You go find it yourself. It is the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 24, Section 5, 1646. End of commentary.
And nobody could ever say God wasn't patient and God wasn't merciful. And wow, what a mercy to God it would be to me if he's offered mercy to Persis this long and she has not taken it, and for God to not leave me in bondage. Jesus came to set you free. Do not let yourselves be back in a yoke of bondage, right, of any kind of bondage.
Nope. I don't think he'd leave you in this for, I just, the way that I'm feeling now, I mean, I don't think that he would leave you in this for any longer. I mean, I just can't see it, you know?
Yeah, especially after that scripture you compared it to about digging it up, you know?
3 years in 1 year.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. Isn't that amazing that it's 4 years?
When I heard that in the message, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. That's that scripture came to me.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "I've been coming looking for fruit on this tree for 3 years and there is none. Dig it up. Why should it take advantage of the soil? Why should it use up the soil?"
Yeah.
And the guy says, whoa. Yeah. Let me dig around it and fertilize it. And he says, okay, great. Give it one more year. If I come back and there's no fruit, dig it up.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean,
fruit,
that's a...
Not just leaves either. Not
right, just leaves existing, but it has to be producing fruitful.
Right.
Yes. Remember,
I mean,
the Bible...
Right now, she's far from producing fruit.
Without a doubt.
She has any leaves.
No, there's no leaves either.
She just said.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a stump.
Yeah.
Remember, all trees that do not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
You remember that? All trees that do not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. All trees that my father did not plant will be uprooted.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's the passage of scripture.
This is another scary truth that people have to focus on and realize and deal with, is that God is not going to keep begging you forever.
No, he's not. His mercy runs out.
Yeah.
His mercy runs out. If you want to stay hard-hearted and obstinate and stubborn and keep kicking.
You made your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary.
God can break the hardest of hearts, but there is certain people that he looks and he sees there's a willingness to continue to stay in your pride. And no matter how hard you are, it's like God will turn you over to it.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been preaching this for years, that God's mercy has an expiration date. Yeah. Don't put him to the test.
And if he turns you over, those who are given over and turned over, you can't, as you said, you can't explain it to them. You can't reason with them. It doesn't make any sense. You know, it's just like, wow, they're blinded to this.
Yeah.
So
it is very, very true.
Outside of another miracle of his mercy to open their eyes again, then you can't make them see it.
Nope.
Yeah.
You cannot.
You're just annoying.
You cannot.
That's all.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just like bugging them. Like, just get away from me.
Yeah.
Come on. Like.
Right. I think the only other thing I want to capture from my personal memory is the fact that I'm sitting here listening to you, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here just like this, and my eyes are not so great. And Kay comes over and puts that bottle on the table, and the only words I see on it are New Zealand. And I say, I can't even tell you if it's the truth or not. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is that, am I seeing that correctly? Because you had it turned sideways.
Yeah.
Does that say New Zealand honey on it?
Yeah.
And it does. And there is a very interesting connection to New Zealand. Why is it, of all the countries in the world, did God show me New Zealand over and over and over? Remember, you guys knew we were moving to New Zealand.
Even when we were going to Austin and you thought you were going to New Zealand.
Yes. And remember, brother, you are the one that told me, oh my gosh, brother, you're not going to believe this. Austin Sparks, his name is Austin. Guess where he's located? New Zealand.
Yeah.
And you remember you told me that?
Yeah.
And then, of course, it becomes about New Zealand. Mm-hmm. That is what exposed the devil in Persis's heart. Mm-hmm. I will never forget that God used New Zealand. He convinced me that I was supposed to move to New Zealand. I mean, my friend Bobby Junkin's daughter, I hadn't seen her for 4 years since I took her high school pictures. She shows up at the tiny house.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, I had some friend of mine. Their parents just moved to New Zealand. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And Gary Barton texts me from James Cook Islanders, or actually, no, this is before he moved to the Cook Islands, and he says to me, Mike, I have a question about New Zealand. And I mean, New Zealand was coming up like every single day.
Yeah.
To the point where I put the tiny house up for sale.
Yeah.
You understand? I was selling the tiny house. Guys, do you know something? People ask me today, don't you have this? Don't you have that? I say, no, I sold all that because we were moving to New Zealand. Tyler asked me this.
Yeah.
Dad, don't you have this? I said, no. You used to have it. Yeah, well, because Persis and I thought we were moving to New Zealand. So we sold everything we had. Remember that?
Yeah.
We did an estate sale.
And then she said she's not going.
And that's the day she said, I need to tell you something. The Spirit is leading me in a different direction. I won't be going with you to New Zealand. Isn't that incredible that God led me to believe New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then Persis says, nope, I'm not going. Even down to the fact that of all the places in the world where I'm praying, now, God, if I'm going to move to New Zealand, I have to have a missionary-sponsored visa. There has to be a ministry who would sponsor me in because you can't just go to New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, you're going to have to move on somebody's heart. Please move on somebody's heart. I reach out to Sparks, zero, no reply, nothing. Next thing I know, 24 hours after praying, a New Zealand Christian radio station contacts me. Mike, we found your recordings. We would like to know if there's any chance that you have these in like 10-minute versions. We believe you believe exactly what we do. You can go to our website and make sure that we're all in agreement. We would love to be able to use your recordings on our radio station. I'm going, are you kidding me? A ministry in New Zealand contacts me of all the countries in the world?
Wow, that is crazy.
You follow me?
And you didn't even know who they were? Like,
didn't know who they were, never heard of them before at all. And sure enough, I went to the website and I'm like, my gosh, they preach the exact same gospel I do. He says, yeah, we've been listening to your recordings. We would like to put them on our radio station. And then what happened? I sent him a recording to say, absolutely, you know. And then I told him, listen, I'm actually trying to come to New Zealand, a God that seems to be telling you. I moved forward in faith. You know what? I never got a reply. Maybe they never even got the email. So God only used this for comfort. How does that make sense? It's like Persis's visa. Why get her the visa if you're still not going to bring her to life? Why give me an open door to a ministry to go to New Zealand and then you're not going to have him reply to me?
Yeah.
Right. It was God was doing something different.
Right.
It's been something weird. And so, you know, obviously I'm not going to go into any details about it, but this Skype call that I had from New Zealand, I mean, this is just bizarre. I mean, this is really something to pay attention to.
Yeah.
It's very, very something to pay attention to
and
very bizarre.
That's interesting with the how this leading of God to move brought such a division, you know. I mean, if your wife not being willing to go with you and God, I mean, it was one of the things that I asked her, if we were to get married and God would call us to go and he would show me that we're going to be moving, would you be willing to move?
Yes.
She goes, yes.
Yes, right.
And for your wife to say no.
After she had told me yes.
Absolute giant division.
Brother, you know what it is? It's Abraham and Lot.
Yeah.
I've already seen it. Lot was not willing to go with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he even after he gets himself in a mess.
Yeah.
Look at this. He goes and gets himself all entangled in Sodom and Gomorrah, gets himself in a war, gets taken captive, gets taken to a foreign place.
Right.
Abraham has to go save him. And even after he saves him, he still says, I'm staying in Sodom.
Wow.
He stays in the bondage. He stays in the place that got him in trouble to begin with.
Yeah.
And so then Abraham has to say, okay, man, go on your way. Because God's man has to walk by faith. He can't be yoked to somebody who's making decisions based on sight.
Right.
or what he sees with his eyes or hears with his ears. Right. The Bible says Lot chose what he saw with his eyes. Exactly. He saw that the land was green good. And fertile. Yeah. Yeah. He chose with his eyes. And, and he, so yeah, that is it. The New Zealand thing, the New Zealand thing exposed Persis's heart.
Yeah.
She was not willing to go with me. And you know, the other thing that's so funny that I also just interesting providence, obviously you guys are in your own, this isn't about your testimony right now, but we're all both in a state of change or expecting change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here it is after my resurrection, if you will, my landlord contacts me.
Yeah. Mm.
After they had just told me weeks earlier, Michael, it's going to be a couple of years. And then they contact me a couple of weeks later and says, just want to give you a heads up. We just listed with a realtor today.
So it's listed.
Everything is listed. All the property is listed for sale. And we'll give you a heads up.
Oh, wow.
So now my tiny house is sitting on land.
That's for sale.
That's basically for sale. And I don't understand if they're trying to maybe do a package deal, like if somebody wants to buy all of it, or if they still are going to be willing to sell that land to me. Huh. And I'm going, well, something's going to change. Something's going to change.
Definitely going to change. Then.
Something's definitely going to change. And you know what's even weirder is? 2 weeks ago, Tyler can witness to this. I said, son, I know this may scare you, but there's part of me that would love to sell this tiny house and move to one of two countries. I said, Australia or New Zealand. I said, I would love to get out of America. Hmm. Personally. Hmm. So these are just things that, I mean, I'm willing to go and do whatever God wants to do. If he wants me to stay there and buy the land, I'll stay there and buy the land.
Mm-hmm.
Michael commentary. Well, they're not as far in the future as I thought. Here's something else absolutely incredible. On 4/23/2021, that is the day that God absolutely confirmed I am to sell the tiny house and to begin moving forward, meaning no taking any chance of trying to buy this land and stay here. This explains why God stopped it when even my parents tried to buy it, and he has never given me that sense of settling like this was supposed to be my land. I just thought, Lord, if you want me to have it, I'll have it, and if not, no big deal. The very next day after I put that video up about my tiny house being for sale and I moved to New Zealand, I went ahead and let my landlord know the next day and they called me back and they said, Michael, the timing's perfect. We actually sold the land and we were going to let you know that you have 90 days. Now you tell me how amazing our God is. He preemptively tells me to move forward and leave the land the day before my landlord is going to let me know that all of the land has been sold and they're going to give me a courtesy of 90 days to get my tiny house off the property. How incredible is our God? End of commentary. But that's not the issue. Those things are way in the future. Right now, it's this issue of, is God cutting me free from my wife? And is it time to see the writing on the wall that God has given her a chance? He's waited. Okay, you know how, this is something interesting to factor into this. You know how in Genesis 22:12, God says to Abraham after he's called him to do the sacrifice of Isaac, you know how he says, now I know.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that perplexing for God to say, now like I know,
when
well, after he's omniscient, right? He knows everything,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He knows the beginning from the end.
Yeah.
But yet God says to us, now I know. So there's some part of that story. God gives Abraham time. He puts him in this position. And he has to wait and see what Abraham's going to do in order for him to tell Abraham, now I know that you fear the Lord your God, for you've not withheld your son, your one and only son, whom you love.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like God could say to Persis, now I know you are not willing to come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a similar way, to hang on to the hope of her coming back to life is kind of similar as well. You know, to hold on in faith to him, to see and hope for and look for a resurrection.
You're saying that God has shown that my faith was complete to believe him for it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, now I know that you will believe me. Now I know you trust me. And then I keep thinking about Hebrews, the last chapter in Hebrews 11, where it says some of these were still living, having received the promise, and they died without
I'm
seeing it.
I'm telling you, it's believing for the impossible. It really is. Persis is impossibly dead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's,
there's no doubt about it.
I mean, she by now stinketh.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been in the grave for 4 years, not 4 days.
Right.
Absolutely. That's a long time to be that hardened.
Yeah.
And she seems to have just gotten harder and harder and harder.
Yeah.
It's really like, honestly, guys, I can see she completely cut me off when she left. I can see it. I could see it in her eyes. Something changed in her just days before she left. It was like she, the evil, severed us.
Wow.
And yeah. It's like maybe there's just been this year of mercy of God waiting and also doing all this deep work in me to get me through this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have come that they may, brother, death came stealing, killing, and destroying, but I have come that they may have life and life to the full. And I'm telling you, I have it. Come what may, I have the Lord Christ living in my heart. I have the joy.
Yeah.
You know, I want his will. You know that.
Yeah.
I know.
And part of me is going, Lord, there's no way you could be telling
like
me.
You're even a witness to that, too.
You're a witness to that?
Yeah, just to that. You're not depressed. You, like, truly are, like,
filled
have
with joy.
God's joy and grace in your life. Whereas, like, people can't say, oh, he's just faking it. Like, no. Like, we know. We were around him. Like, it's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, God has really done amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really done a blessing. Yeah. And you have to think to yourself, like, I mean, like I said, this is not my fault, guys. I did not want this to end like this. I did not want to give up on my wife. I have not been unfaithful to her. I have, on the contrary, been as faithful as I think anybody could ever expect you to be to somebody who hates you and rebels against you. And I've rejected all any other women that have, you know, hinted or any other people telling me move on. No, I don't move on until, you know something? Yeah. All these people who tell me to move on, they're right, but they're wrong. Yeah. You don't move on until God tells you to move on. You don't listen to anybody else.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they might say, oh, see, I told you I was right. And I would say, no, you weren't. Because while you were telling me to move on, God was telling me to hang in there. In fact, he might have been using you to tell me, guys, it's just like in Acts 21. Did you know that the Holy Spirit contradicts himself in Acts 21? Most people haven't seen this. He tells the church people to warn Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Mm. He tells through the same Spirit, Paul, go to Jerusalem. Mm. He completely contradicts. And in the middle, you have prophet Agabus who says, whoever wears this belt, they're going to be tied up with it like this when they go to Jerusalem. Meaning Paul, this is going to happen to you. So it says, by the Spirit, they warned Paul not to go. And the Holy Spirit had moved Paul to go, and he would not listen, and it says, after they saw, they could not dissuade him.
Hmm. Interesting.
They let him go.
Yeah.
They let him go. Mm. And he was supposed to go. So it's almost like they were being used to test him.
Yeah.
It's just like 1 Kings 13. Yeah. The older prophet and the younger prophet. Do you remember that story? The younger prophet is to go warn the king. He goes, and God tells him, don't stop. Don't rest, don't eat, don't turn to the left or the right. Go there and back.
Yeah.
And on the way back from delivering the message to the king, he runs into an older prophet.
Yeah.
That's right.
And the older prophet says, hey, come to my house, eat with me. And he says, no, I cannot. God has told me, do not stop, do not rest, do not eat, so forth and so on. He goes, I'm a prophet too.
Yeah. That's right.
And God told me to tell you to come to my house.
Yeah.
Oh, so what does he do? He goes to his house.
Yeah.
He does exact opposite of what Paul did. Paul said, nope, I've already got my marching orders. I'm sticking on them. You're telling me that you're a prophet of God. Great. You're telling me something different. No. But this kid, he listens. He goes to the guy. He eats. And after he gets his belly full, the older prophet says, the Bible says he lied to him. And he says, here's the word of the Lord to you. You have disobeyed the word of the Lord. You have rebelled against the Holy Spirit of God. Right?
And he died, didn't he?
He gets eaten by a lion.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that a picture of? Who's the lion in the new covenant?
Yeah.
And clearly God is in control of it because when the old prophet passes back by, a donkey is sitting next to the lion. They are not conforming to the nature. They're being held back. The donkey is sitting there. The lion is sitting there. And they're looking at the dead body. He killed him. He didn't eat him, but he mauled him and killed him because he listened to another prophet.
Wow.
So I've seen this people all the time. People coming to me, you should do this. You should do that. And there'll be a lot of people who will want to say, oh, see, I was right. And I'll say, well, great. In the end, you were right, but you were not right at the end because God was telling me to stay put.
Yeah.
Right.
And I am convinced that all the lessons that I've gotten, even up until the point I'm driving to see here, were all ordained by God, all ordained
I believe so too.
By God.
Yeah. Yeah.
The truth is, guys, I have a part of me that does not want to be free from my wife. I love her.
I know.
I have hoped for her and hoped for her and hoped for her, but I am not going to be the same fool I was all those years ago going, oh, God, maybe my ex-wife, you're going to wake her up from the dead. She's going to wake up. Man, imagine if I was still in bondage to that. No thanks.
Yeah.
If God wants to bless me with freedom, I have to be faithful to step into it.
Right.
Yeah. Even though it's scary.
Definitely.
So.
And there's no holding on to a dead body for.
Nope.
I mean, how long can you do that?
Nope, unless I was Elisha, and I'm not Elisha. I can't touch dead bones and make them come to life.
Yeah.
Or have somebody touch my dead bones and have them come to life.
It's weird. We're talking about Lazarus, and I just remembered that Lazarus was 4 days dead. It just reminds me of another of the 4 years.
Yeah.
You know.
You know something, bro? Oh, one. My goodness gracious. Brother, you are not going to believe this. Do you guys remember the picture we took on the tree?
Yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first tree at the Jacob's well.
The number 4?
Yes, oh, the number goodness. 4. And the I four. Said to you, my goodness, this tree is in the shape of a number
wow.
4.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Huh.
4 years.
That's weird.
That's unbelievable, crazy. Man.
Wow.
And you're the one who had the eyes to see that it was like a number 4.
Yes.
And you're going through that.
And then we all took our pictures with it. I have a picture of me sitting on it. And then I said, oh, guys, get on the thing and take a picture of it.
Yeah.
I've never seen a tree like that in my life. That's the first one I've ever seen like that.
Yeah, it's looking.
That's definitely weird.
It's pretty much looking and pointing to if there's no resurrection, that's a 4-year mark.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what I feel like. I've said, Lord, if she doesn't come back by the 24th, God, please free me. And I would say that's the 4-year mark.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a time of completion. Isn't it funny that there's 4 seasons in a year?
Yeah.
Like a whole cycle.
Yeah.
4 seasons.
Yeah.
In a year.
Huh.
These are literally like signs, like a burning bush type thing.
Right.
This is not by accident. And don't you remember, we didn't go in the same way we came out.
No.
No way.
We got lost. Right. And we went like down a different, you're like, oh, I think we're going the wrong way. And let's go back this way.
Yeah.
And so we would have never seen, we would have never seen that tree if we would have gone back out the way we came in.
Yeah, that's right.
a perfectly four-shaped tree.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we go and stand at the sign. Wow. Hang on, there was another one. Let me look at the picture. We look at the sign. There was something about the sign. 922 feet above sea level. Remember this? Look at this. 922.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Be freed from your suffering. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering.
Yeah.
At the Jacob's well. I'm like, look at that.
That's
the surface
wild.
Elevation is 922 feet above sea level.
Uh-huh.
Man, I mean, it's just like the signs are literally everywhere.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, see, oh my goodness, look, here's the pictures. me sitting on the number 4.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's great. Oh my goodness. It really is a number 4.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's like the perfect number 4. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, if you don't see so many of these things, you would just go, oh, that's a neat coincidence. But when they keep piling up, and you see as we're sitting here, we're remembering, I haven't made the first journal entry since I've been here.
Wow.
That's why I wanted to record this, to capture what are the things that we're seeing. Wow, man.
It feels like due time.
It really does, man. It really does. It's starting to feel like it.
It's sad, but liberating.
We have all been. Well, I know. You know something? Haven't we all been in bondage to this? You told me you have felt my bondage.
Oh, I feel it. Yeah.
I mean, you guys are closer to me than anybody.
Yeah.
And you know, I have to say that's the thing that feels very loving to me about you guys is that you cared. Like when you said yesterday what you did about how you care about me in this way.
Yeah.
And I said, even though the Lord is keeping me so well, it makes me feel loved to know that you guys care about me, that you see this as, man, my brother is constantly in bondage to this and he's in suffering and that you're not just thinking about yourself, but you were thinking about me. That was really, it made me feel loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're having to cling. It's so hard to see.
Yeah.
You're like, how long, Lord?
How long, oh Lord? How long? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can tell you, I would not rather be in any place with any two people in the entire world than right now with you guys to go through something like this.
Yeah.
I don't trust anybody as much as I trust you guys. We have been through hell in 2018. You know how we just talked, listen, you know how we were just talking about in marriage,
yeah.
about all the weird things that you have to go through, and that definitely. When you get through it, it makes you trust the person more.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what we found about our relationship.
I know.
We've been attacked.
You talk about being made new. If tested. You look at just you and I.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so now it's like I have so much trust of you guys. Yeah. Like there's no people on the planet that I trust anymore. Then you guys, and not only that, you guys are the only two people in the world that ever lived with me in Persis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We saw it.
Yeah, that's interesting that she was still there, you know?
We were witnesses. Yeah.
You lived there with us for 9 months.
That is talk about a witness, man.
You saw it with your own eyes. And you saw it when it was just going downhill and there was still her capacity to fake it.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things I saw, though, that scared me. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's some bad wrong stuff here going on with her.
Yeah.
You know.
She was used part of my discernment. It was really interesting how God used her for me though. Because
to test your discernment.
Yeah. I haven't been as exposed to some of the discernment stuff like you guys have. And so when I was talking to her and I would see these truths come out, and she just always got me thinking
could that be true?
Is that true? I have to go read my Bible. And so it was just really interesting. Because, there's some people who are, so evil. It's obviously that's wrong.
Right. And that was not the way with Persis.
This was different because it was this. She's just so sweet and so knowledgeable. And she's very easy to believe her.
Yes.
And she has these half truths. And there were some things that I was so able to resonate with her because personality stuff. And so she would talk about our personalities, and I'm I know that's true because I see that in me.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then I'm but Jesus says we need to be like Jesus. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So there's parts of me where I'm do not grow weary in well doing. You know, so don't grow weary in trying to do this thing with you where I'm struggling with the personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really interesting. It really put me to a test in some ways. With her.
Yeah. And you know something? That's not by accident. That's Satan trying to intentionally plant a hollow and deceptive philosophy that depends on the human wisdom rather than on the teachings of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
You said, but Jesus said.
Yeah.
And so Persis' emphasis, not Persis because she's not the owner of the apostasy that's in her, but you see, the spirit is trying to direct you to personality profiling, horoscope reading, middle child syndrome, birth order, all these things. She was trying to lead you into all this secular, worldly, hollow, deceptive philosophy.
Yeah.
She became actually rightfully afraid for a while that she was, I'm kind of afraid to be around her and listen to this stuff.
Yeah, because it could sound so convincing.
Yeah, it's very convincing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be deceived, and this is really,
I would look at her, and I would know how sweet she was, and I would see her defend you, and she would do these things, and I'm like, man, this is more like Jesus than I am in this way. What if is she possibly right about some of this stuff? It's all a deception.
Yeah.
Angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
Masquerading as an angel of light. And Persis, I don't believe at all Persis is a deceiver.
No.
Knowingly.
I don't think so.
She was deceived, and therefore...
Just overflow.
Collateral damage. Yes. Deception leads to deception. Deception breeds deception.
Yeah. There's some stuff that she probably told you that was true about me and, or us, I should say.
Right.
Not you, but me and Persis because of the personality thing.
Yeah.
But like you said, that doesn't mean that I don't need refined by you.
Right.
Being opposite of me.
Correct.
So, some stuff was true, but I still needed.
Yeah.
It's always an attempt to move things out of obedience to the words of Christ and into this philosophical, humanistic viewpoint of things.
Yeah.
And it sounded so titillating.
Yeah.
You're wanting to go, gosh.
She explained it so much, she explained it away.
Okay, and you know what happens is it's designed to make the teachings of Christ look like that of a simpleton.
Yeah, common
because
sense.
Less than common sense, that's for kindergartners, but let me explain to you what's going on here in the earthly realm and all this and the personality and this and that and the other. It sounds like you're so wise. It sounds like you're brilliant. And really, what does the Bible say? Those who have become wise have become fools.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God confines those who think they're wise. He said, if you think you're wise, you should become a fool.
Yeah.
And that's what it is we've become simpletons. We become like children.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to grow a child. She wants to be a grown-up.
Yeah.
Important, respected.
Yep.
You know, so you can see
Her life completely contradicts it.
What's that?
Her home life, and home her life. Attitude, and her everything contradicts.
Yeah. She didn't care about that, it seemed like. She didn't care about...
I mean, it's like someone show up to build a house. You know, we're working on a tiny house, and it's this guy comes, all right, guys, I'm ready to work. And he's dressed in, like, a button-up shirt and dress pants and a tie. And you're like you know, get out of here, man. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
You're not ready to do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of work were you thinking,
laugh,
bro?
You chuckle at him, like.
Yeah.
Are you here to take pictures?
Yeah.
Are
you
here
to... You're not, like, ready to get dirty or work, do you? And so, I mean, she's talking all these things. And we would be like, yeah, but she can't even, like...
Do anything.
Like, obey her husband and, you know, and just, like, clean up a little bit.
Right.
Or
right.
to she wash can. The dishes
yeah,
or...
Right.
Yeah. Or you remember, like, when we went to Chattanooga or wherever we went in Tennessee and we got into a tiffy over her not willing to put her seatbelt on.
Right.
And I said,
know.
Sweetheart, it's the law.
Yeah.
And she got into this, like, so... I mean, that is so devilish, man.
Yeah.
It's the pride.
Yeah. Or we sit down and have a coffee and we said, and you were like, man, it's just nice to have, sit down and talk together. And she goes, well, I already know what you guys were all going to talk about, so...
Yeah.
Right.
And she
would just pick up her phone and disappear. Right. I already know. Oh, no. What she was saying is, I already know
she already
all
knew
about
all of
you
you're talking about.
Yes.
It's nothing new to me.
The bodybuilder guy who became a Christian. Because you guys were talking about this. This is when I realized how prideful she was in this moment. And she already heard that story. And so she didn't want to hear it, and she's like, oh, since I already know that story, I don't have to listen. And then she went into try to explain, it's like when you're a student in school and you already know what the teacher's talking about, so you just tune them out and you just don't listen. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, she's full of pride.
Yes, she's full
like
of
that's
pride.
What went through my mind in that
absolutely
moment.
Yeah, she would always think, and she would say to me, like, she would say, Kilima, you just can't see it yet.
Yeah.
Your eyes haven't been opened. I mean, that's exactly what she would say to me.
Yeah.
I'm getting such clarity looking back on this. Like, in a moment that I'm standing in, which I'm going to call release, I'm looking back and going, man, this thing was doomed from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, all the way back, Satan. She was having dreams about snakes all the time.
I remember you telling me.
She was constantly having dreams about snakes. And then, you know what? She became fascinated. She started watching snake documentaries.
Was she scared of that?
No.
Wow.
She started watching snake documentaries a couple times.
Weird.
Yes.
Weird.
Well, you know something? What did the Hindu gods do? Rama, he's got a snake wrapped around his head. They worship snakes in India. There is some kind of a love of the serpent in the heart of a godless person that's been taken over by Antichrist spirit.
Oh, God.
It's horrible.
Wow.
It helps me to understand also why I lost attraction for my wife.
Yeah, definitely.
It made her very, very unattractive to me.
Yeah.
And that's where I knew, I'm like, wow, you cannot just have flesh in common. If you are a spirit-filled person, that is the most unattractive thing that you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't want to touch her with a 10-foot pole. I told him that when I left one time to leave the house, like going to the coffee store, and I forgot something, and I came back, and she was in the shower, and she had this unbelievable heavy metal music playing while she was in the shower, and she had been listening to it, like AC/DC. These are all satanic bands.
Yep.
And I go and I look at her phone to turn it down because she wasn't listening to it in front of me, and the name of the track is Queen of the Damned. And I said, what in the world are you listening to?
Yeah.
I look back, man, she's been gone for so long, brother. Literally, she has been basically dead for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's just been, you know, the corpse doesn't look the same on day one as it does a year later. There's a lot more decay, a lot more, you know, it's horrible. How bizarre that God is finally saying enough is enough.
Yeah.
You know something, man? I have to tell you, this makes Hebrews 10 and Hebrews chapter 6 seem a whole lot more scary to me. Like they've
sure
always
does.
Been that it's impossible to, if you fall away, to come back to repentance. It really seems like that may be the case. As hard as that scripture is to swallow for so many people, that if you've tasted, I'm not talking about if you've been a form Christian, like we talked about with you, where you had religion of the head.
Right.
But somebody who purses, she tasted the goodness of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
she fellowshipped.
Right.
She understood a bit of the age to come. She did. I know. She walked with it. And for her to fall away, the Bible says, and I just read that like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, God, it says it is impossible for them to be renewed under repentance because they're bringing Christ back. And I'm like, but nonetheless, I'm going to believe what you've said. You did this for the Israelites. You let them go. Difference is Israelites didn't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
It's much different now.
So it's like, man, I got to really revisit. This is really, honestly, more like what I always believed and taught in the beginning.
Yeah.
That, man, if you fall away, I mean, hence the 68 scriptures I found that talk about, you have to be so careful not to fall away.
Yeah.
Hold firmly to what we believed all the way to the end, otherwise you believed in vain.
Wow.
You know? Do not fall from your secure position. Well, how can you fall from something secure?
Yeah.
You can. There's just so many scary scriptures about it. So anyhow, was there anything else you guys could think of before I end this journal recording?
I don't think so.
The only thing I was thinking was, so there was like when you got the 7:15 and you said that, on my end, I was still kind of like, well, yeah, maybe. Like I believe that could be that, you know, he'll give him 7:15 and then I felt like I was still like a little bit hesitant, and then I came downstairs and I think I was making myself a tea and I was going to go pull out this up on the shelf and I realized it said New Zealand and I was like, huh, well maybe. Like I felt like even a little bit more.
You telling me that you made a connection to that by seeing New Zealand on the honey thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know what? I even forgot that you guys told me something about your story I didn't realize that I thought was incredible, is that God, independently of one another, used 7:15 for both of you guys.
Oh, right. He did. Yeah.
Which is why you said, I think I'd have to have God show him a 7:15 on this.
Yeah. I mean, he abundantly shows that because we wanted to know if we were, in his eyes, free. If we were no longer in bondage.
To your past marriages.
I mean, we knew that we were, divorce was a done and real thing. I mean, there was no other option for that, but did he consider us free?
Right.
Yeah.
And so he showed us 7:15 repeatedly, independent of each other, and we started praying. You told me you're saying it's number 7:15.
Yeah.
And I have a journal about how he confirmed that it truly was 1 Corinthians 7:15.
Yeah.
And then he started showing us that together, and showing us 7:15 and 8:28, same exact second, same time, to show us that he was not only freeing us, but that he's working it for good. Yeah.
And all these years, 12 years, I've been walking with God, showing me numbers. I've never once seen a 7:15 that I've ever had as a number, never.
Wow.
Except for I'm out in that woods.
So when it's appropriate.
And it comes out of me. I wouldn't even have thought about it. I literally one day was in such pain and suffering about maybe 2 months ago or something. And I say, God, just show me a 7:15. Just show me a 7:15. If you want me to get out of this, just show me a 7:15. And then, like, I don't remember how long ago it was later. I'm walking in the woods, maybe a week or two. My phone lights up while I'm making a recording, 7:15. And I don't make the connection to the fact that I'd been praying, show me a 7:15. Yeah. I don't even make a connection to 1 Corinthians 7:15.
Yeah.
And when I go through the numbers and I get there, I'm like, no, God. No. Yeah. And I immediately was like, no, don't show this to me, Lord. I'll stay in the suffering. I'll stay in bondage.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you one other fact that just comes to me now that's interesting, and then we'll be done. When Persis came to me while we were living with my parents before we were moved into the tiny house, and we had already filed the divorce. Okay. And she sat me down and she said, with tears, she said, I want you to be happy. And she said, I realize you're getting nothing out of this relationship. And she said, you need a Christian wife and I cannot be that for you. You need a helpmate and I cannot be that for you. And this is when she even said, you know, if you meet somebody and you want me to talk to her for you to see if she's the right person. I mean, and I'm going, I cannot believe my wife is saying this to me, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So she's basically telling me that's it. She needs to move on. And it was a tearful moment. It was me sitting there shocked going, I cannot believe we're having this conversation. Well, the next day I go to the woods and I break down and I cry and I say, God, please don't take her from me. Please let me stay in bondage to her. I said this to God. I said, Lord, who's ever going to show her the unconditional love of Jesus Christ if she leaves and she goes to Africa or to India? I said, she'll never see the true gospel. I said, God, I will lay my life down for her. I will suffer for her. Please don't let me out of this, Lord. Let her stay. Let us stay together so that she can see. I literally could not be released from her. I felt like I needed to go the distance with her.
It's part of that choice, that willingness that, you know, in cooperation with him, he agrees and has allowed it to be that.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I think he has. I think part of his will to let it go this long.
Yeah, it definitely is, because I wouldn't be having this resurrection life experience. Yeah. Perseverance mm-hmm. has produced hope, and hope, love.
Yeah.
But it was like, I've often wondered, I'm like, God, did I do something wrong? Like, was that wrong of me? Like, you're trying to let her out of my life, and I'm still going to mm-hmm. hold on? No, I tell you the truth, what God did was right.
Yeah.
He showed an unconditional, sacrificial love to her. Persis right. will never be able to say yeah. she was not loved sacrificially, ever. She'll not be able to stand before God on Judgment Day and say, you didn't give me a chance. You never showed me true love. Love was always dependent upon what I gave the... No, she will never be able to say that ever again.
Yeah.
And I literally... God will play the tape in heaven. I said, God, I lay my life down for my wife, as Ephesians 5:25 mm-hmm. says. I'm willing to die for her in this way. I'm willing to suffer for her. I'm willing to martyr myself. I told God, I'm willing to martyr myself mm-hmm. for her. Lord, she'll never see the example. And I think God knows my willingness to die in that thing and to stay married to her for the rest of my life as a martyr. And I think now God says, you're free, son. Mm-hmm. That I've given her a chance. You've reached out to her. This is why I've had you reach out to her so much. And she's not willing. It's like Pharaoh, man. He gets chance after chance after chance. Mm-hmm. And God has to drive him all the way to the end where his own son has to be killed before he will let the Israelites go and listen to God.
Yeah.
I've given her time to repent.
But she is unwilling, so I will cast her on a bed of suffering. Hmm. One step at a time, am I supposed to be free or still in bondage to my wife? Is she coming or is she going? You know, there's no doubt that this whole thing that's happened with New Zealand, this Skype call, there's part of that has a small piece to play in this. You know, you just testified, you saw the New Zealand thing, and then I'm sitting here this morning, the same thing, and you, why did you bring that here?
I don't know.
You didn't need that here. That's supposed to be in the kitchen. But you brought it and you set it right there and you happened to turn it the way I could see it from across the room. I was getting ready to freak out if you were going to tell me there was a 7:15 on that thing. I mean, seriously. I was seeing a 7:15 from Jared and I'm looking and I'm like, is there a 7:15 on this thing?
7:015.
So that's a 7:15. Are you serious? Where at, bud?
Skew.
My goodness gracious. A 7:15, and what's the final number, bro?
4. I didn't even notice that.
Are you kidding me, man?
Wow.
The only two numbers that are talking about this, 7:15 and 4.
7:15 and 4.
I'm going to take a picture of that. That's incredible. What was it that just made me think that you were going to see a 7:15 on there? And of all things, there is a 7:15 and a 4.
Yeah.
Wow, that is crazy. SKU number 7:1. 70154. Wow, that's crazy.
A land dripping with milk and honey, flowing.
Yeah.
New Zealand.
Yeah, that's right. A man. Yeah, I did. I just barely was listening to you saying that, but you just said a land flowing with milk and honey, New Zealand. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Seeding. Can you imagine though? I mean, how much like we literally have that evil report of the land in us. Saying the land is bad.
Oh, don't step into this.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
We all have
don't
that
leave your house. It's going to be a nightmare. You're going to live in a trailer court. You're going to be poor. You're going to be messed up. Your family's going to reject you. You're going to look like an idiot. You're probably going to have to return with your face down in the dirt and ask for help. You know? And you're like, you know, it's an evil report of the land.
Yeah.
And God's literally telling me, 8:10, I am giving you a good land. You will bless me when you get there. You will bless the Lord. You've eaten and are full for the good land he's given you.
Yeah, and you know how I know that scripture? It's Deuteronomy 8:10.
Deuteronomy 8:10.
You know how I know that scripture? Because I have a recording from a few weeks ago where he showed it to me and I made an entire message about
it. No way.
And it was, he was saying, when you enter into the land and you have eaten and are satisfied, do not forget the Lord your God or your hearts will become proud.
Right. That's when it goes on to talk about that.
You see?
Right.
Now, what are the chances in the world that I could tell you exactly what scripture that is and I can point you to a recording where God showed it to me that I'm getting ready to enter into a good land. I'm standing in it now. I'm standing in the good land right now in my heart. Like literally, come what may.
Yeah.
Wife, parents, child, tiny house, friends, family, you name it, I have the Lord and that's all I need.
Yeah.
Right? And whatever his will is. I just need him and his will
exactly.
and I'm good. And his grace.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then the thing is, you don't forget him. Right. You don't forget him. You always remember
he's the one that gave this. It's he that gave me this. I could not have done this, and you know, I knew that for him to help us maintain that attitude, he was going to have to bring us into some weakness as well, and he's done it. He's kept us weak, and he's kept us lowly, and
my grace is made
struggling with different areas and not having the means, or maybe being sick, or questions and doubts, and all these, you know. So he's kept us glorifying him and looking back at this experience to say he's done it.
Yeah,
you know, he has done it.
He has done it. We need to look ahead based on this.
The Lord has done this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I stood over there through those trees, and I'm looking at our tiny house sitting here about 3 days after we put it here.
Yeah.
And those trees are covered in grapes, all ripe. And I'm grabbing a grape off the vine, and I'm remembering the scripture, the land with grapes.
With grapevines. By the streams or something like that.
A land flowing with streams.
I remember you told me that. I'm like, oh my gosh, that completely describes your...
Yeah,
yes, you know.
Well, praise the Lord, man.
It's a land that drinks rain from heaven that he keeps his eye on day and night all year round.
Deuteronomy 11:11. Yeah. He's making a point that the land you're coming out of is not the land you're going into.
Yeah.
He watches over this land.
Right, right.
He provides the rain.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's amazing, man. That is amazing.
These are all spiritual pictures, you know? They're the natural thing that he's given us to show, like, can you imagine the spiritual blessings to come? I mean, we've already experienced this much, how much more there is in heaven.
Yeah.
When it's just like no more restrictions. Wow.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. We forgot to record this one. So I just get in the car to move the car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how many miles it was?
921.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's not 921 alone. It's 921.8. 218. And when do I see it? Look at this. 218. And look at there. At the time I take the picture, it's 1218. 218. I was like, wow. I mean, 921 miles from your door to my door. That's incredible, man.
I know. I remember thinking that. I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Yes, it is. And you said, why is it not 922, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said yes. And then I said, well, we got to look this number up and see. That's incredible.
Yep, that's it. Yeah.
To do.
How about this, brother? This was one of the most amazing ones that I had seen.
All right, tell it. Let me see if the atheist in me can rebuttal
you. Let's see if you can beat this one, right. All right, let me just read this journal entry. So creed, this is a confirmation about 1715 or 1 Corinthians 7:15. I was recording an audio clip to Michael about 7:15 and how I kept seeing it. The Lord had already confirmed the 7:15 was about 1 Corinthians 7:15 a few days prior when I was driving to Lake Erie and coming home from meeting Kay there. I saw 7:15 four times in a row and I asked what it was that he spoke to my heart, you know, that it was that scripture. So he's, you know, confirming, showing me, yes, that was it. I started feeling condemned this morning that I had shared some truth with Kay about marriage and divorce a couple of weeks ago and started to think that maybe I shouldn't have. I started to beat myself up in a few ways and it's the second guess. And basically she had opened up to me about her situation and her circumstances and going through divorce on this one particular day, and I was like, all right, thank you for telling me what's going on with you. Here's the truth about this stuff. Here's how God looks at divorce, and I've already come through it, and I'm sharing with her about it and trying to pass on the freedom of letting the unbeliever depart that God has given me and showing her how it also applies to her. Okay, so I'm feeling like, maybe I shouldn't have shared that.
Like
maybe
you're giving
it wasn't
her
for
a
me.
Release that God wouldn't want her to have, and you're starting to feel guilty.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. So then I prayed and asked him to confirm it again this morning. After praying, I saw a parking ticket that needed to be paid and tried to pay online. It was actually due today. Otherwise, there would be an extra fee. So this is like after praying. I'm opening up my eyes, and I see that they're on my desk at work. I tried to pay it online a few times, but the site wouldn't cooperate, and it failed again, so I had to call by phone, and the phone number included 715. Immediately, I thought, wow, that was a fast answer, but maybe it was just a coincidence. I closed my eyes, and I set the paper down, and I prayed, wow, Lord, please confirm one more time. Sure enough, as soon as I opened my eyes, my eyes fell to the date on the ticket, which was 7/15. I received the ticket on 7/15 as well. Then, that's July 15th. Then I was shocked. So I went for a walk outside, and I remember that my recording had stopped because my brother had called. It stopped exactly at 17:15. I texted Kay to tell her this, and literally, she had just got 17:15 as well moments before. Okay, and then the amazing things happens. I realized that the day that I had told her about these truths, and this is about like 2 weeks prior that I had talked to her about these truths about letting the unbeliever depart, was on July 15th, the same day I got the ticket.
Brother, I'm telling you, I know this is hard to believe. It's all just a coincidence. Okay? Look, man.
Well, you need to know. I must be really deceived.
There is
man.
Nothing.
I don't know, man.
There
this
is nothing like that happens by design. It's all random, okay?
I mean,
it's
that was
a
like,
delusion of your mind.
That was like 10 of them in a row, but probably coincidence.
No, it's guaranteed, man. Okay, look. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. See, you see how, like, at that point, your faith is weaker.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
really struggling.
Yeah.
And you're so
yeah.
meek.
It's
and
like
God
you open your eyes, and it's
through.
Like 10:15.
Yes.
And you're like, oh,
yes.
my goodness, God.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And the date I share with it on her, 7:15.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yes. It's a Gideon thing, man. He's making
right.
the ground wet and the fleece dry, the fleece
yeah.
wet and the ground
I
dry.
That.
And then
that's
he's making,
I mean, that fleece
yes.
got worn out.
Absolutely. He's making it absolutely sure. But you know what? Look at how much Satan stands against that message.
Yeah.
He hates
he
it.
He wants to make it clear. He doesn't want anybody to be able to be free. He
I
wants
know.
Them to be,
yeah.
he would like me to be dead and buried with persons.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
that night was blessed. That night was blessed.
That
when
was
I shared that
night.
Truth for you, and I said, look, here's the truth about divorce. And here's what it is, and here's what it means to be married to an unbelieving spouse. And I laid it all out for her. We sat for about 2 hours and talked about it. And I was so excited. I was like, I got to pass on freedom to somebody who needed it and deserved it. And
yeah, you did a good thing. You got out
yeah.
of jail, and then you went
yeah.
back and helped another prisoner
yeah,
get out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's just like Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, right.
I hope you watched that movie.
He's
yeah.
Harriet, he's Harriet
yeah,
Tubman.
Exactly. Running
he got
back.
Free, and then he
yeah.
ran back and
yeah.
says, hey, there's
Come
an
on,
underground railroad.
Yeah.
The legalists don't
yeah.
know about it, but you're like...
the land is good.
Yeah.
They're all saying it's terrible. Well, the evil report related. It's good land. Let's go.
Isn't that awesome?
Let's run.
Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do
wow.
not see.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 11:01 right now.
The land is good. Show them this.
This is yeah.
So this is where we make the wrong turn. I glance to my left and see this.
House wow.
number. We glance to the right, the car on the right side of the road.
No way. That's
yeah.
the actual one where you guys were telling me about
yeah.
it happened both
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it has our initials.
JK.
And as soon as
and
I
like
saw the
B,
B,
like
I was
believe.
Like, believe.
JK, right. believe 828. That is so
I
funny.
All things for good for those who love me.
That is so mind. Neat, man.
Oh, he's so good to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
he's
is.
Good.
I'm so glad, man. We've talked so much. I wish we could always record all of our conversations and share them.
Yeah,
with,
we should just put a recorder on.
You know, I mean, because we have shared some really wonderful things. The Lord is glorified. And,
yeah.
you know, we talk about the importance of being meek and why God blesses us all like this is because we truly desire his will over our
yeah.
own. And that's why he helps us. Yeah.
The land dripping with milk and honey flowing.
Yeah.
Like New Zealand.
Yeah, that's... yeah, right, exactly.